how to become more conscious beings, how to live in a more livable planet. I present programs that invite the listener to look at their behaviors, their states of mind, in order to have it and create a better planet, a more open and free society. In a lot of my past programs, I've been focusing on different spiritual realities, but this today's program is really about the political realities that face us right now here in the early 21st century. And my name's Alan Steinfeld, and I've been hosting this program on BBS Radio for the past 3 months since March, and had a bunch of very exciting programs. But tonight's show will be a whole new departure. Tonight's guest is Samuel Anthony Ataro. And Samuel, are you there?
Yes, sir. How are you this evening?
Yes. And how would you introduce yourself? You said you are also the public relations person for Aaron Russo?
Well, I would consider myself an internet renaissance kind of guy. I do a lot of different things. My primary function in regards to social activism nationally is as the national media director for Aaron Russo's organizations that he started, which is, for those of you who don't know, Aaron is the Hollywood producer that made America Freedom to Fascism.
Right, which is a great movie. Let's get into that a little later. Tell me, what else do you do? What other?
Well, I manage national media and do PR and established a national media corps of citizen broadcasters to go out and start filming news independently. Myself, professionally, I'm actually a television producer here in the state of Pennsylvania. I have a career education television show, which is called Futures Fast Forward. That airs on a Fox affiliate here. I'm an educator. I give speeches. I give talks. I give seminars.
On what subject is your main
I'm sorry. There's kind of an odd delay here.
I know it is.
I'll get the hang of it.
I know it's a little. I hear you pretty well, but no. What's your major topic for your lectures and speeches and talk? What do you focus on?
Well, there's a couple different things. If it's activist oriented, it's in regards to social activism and the responsibility that we have in as Americans to keep our government in check and get involved in the process and what we can do about it. Then there's the aspect of what I do professionally, which is focusing on making proper career choices and helping young people and their parents understand exactly, you know, what it means to be a X, Y, or a Z, you know. How many kids go off to college and find out 3 years into it, this is not what I wanted to do at all, what I thought I wanted to do. So my focus in that regard is career education and making proper choices. And then there's an overlap between those in regards to digital media, because as a professional consultant, I work with school districts and businesses and individuals who are very interested in utilizing the new digital media tools to enhance their business or social networks or whatever. But then I also cross over and I have those same seminars that I offer specifically to the activist communities. And, you know, how do the guys from We Are Change do it? You know, how are people out there with little $300 camcorders and shoving them in the face of these politicians and then taking it home and putting together a little Google YouTube video and lighten up the internet? And I show people how to do that, make the most out of the latest digital gear that's available, you know.
Well, that would be great to talk about.
It's pretty cool stuff, man.
Those three fields of interest and professionalism really do come together. I mean, especially if we focus on, let's start with, like, the career coaching. I mean, if you're coaching high school kids and college kids to come out into the world and they have to come into the real world instead of the world of a media that we've been deceived into thinking is the real world. You know what I'm saying?
Amen. Yeah, absolutely. And I see that so clearly, and especially even in the school that I work in. I mean, the kids are so immersed in this world of violence and propaganda that for a guy like me who has removed myself from it and unplugged from it, You know, I killed my TV 7 years ago when I had my little girl, and I said, I don't want her subject to this crap, so we just turned it off. And we still rent movies and DVDs, and we still have the internet, but we're in control of what we watch. So for a fellow like me to see the kids these days, just they cannot grasp what is wrong or the potential negative impacts that are that are on them, you know, playing these new virtual video games and these war games that are so realistic, and that we, you know, that we now come to find out that are actually, you know, researched and developed and brought to market, and sometimes in conjunction with our national defense mechanisms and these big companies that are promoting, you know, they're training these killers of tomorrow. You know, that's just one example, and it's really. Every now and then, like, I've got these kids that I work with. They're from a couple small towns here in Pennsylvania. Punxsutawney, actually, where Punxsutawney Phil is.
And right, I got these, with I got groundhog these, for groundhog.
Groundhog, right. Yeah. I actually, that's what I did professionally. I actually made the first ever, in 118-year history of Groundhog Day, I made the first ever officially sanctioned by the Inner Circle, the guys with the top hats, you know, that you see on Letterman and on TV all the time.
Yeah, and in the movie, I love Groundhog. Isn't it an amazing movie?
Oh yeah, and I made the very first ever sanctioned documentary about Groundhog Day. The maker
really?
Of that movie, the writer of that movie, Groundhog Day, Danny Rubin, saw my documentary and he said, "Man, he goes, it was amazing. I had no idea that the impact that we had on that holiday by making that movie." You know, that was flattering. But anyway, back to this. These kids, of these kids here get it, man. And to see them wake up and to be awake at 16, 17 years old, you know, and to see them trapped in this social structure and this lattice that they seem to be trapped in is really, it's encouraging, but it's also sad at the same time, you know.
Right. So let's talk about the government-controlled media and what the collective... No, but before that, let's get underneath that and see...
You're opening up a can of worms, man.
No, I know, and that's fine because this is a great place to open that can.
Sure,
and
sure.
Also, underneath that, the manipulation of consciousness that we are all being sucked into by mainstream media and politics...
I love it.
In bed together. I mean, we are being brainwashed and conditioned to think the world is a certain way that it obviously isn't. So talk about the brainwashing and how
to... Well, since I woke up many years ago, I mean, for me, it was the first Gulf War. And around that time, the research that I was doing on the first Gulf War, the subsequent wars in Yugoslavia, putting the pieces together in regards to the large business component to these things, and the over the years, you know, seeing the Bush family and their ties to Daddy Bush going on to head then chair of the Carlyle Group, became in short order one of the largest defense contractors in the world. You know, the ties of the big thing that woke me up in the most clear thing still, General Electric owning NBC. I mean, I'm sitting there watching Tom Brokaw tell me about the Gulf War and the original Gulf War and what a bad guy Saddam Hussein was and how we had to, you know, all the justification for all the things that we had to do in order to remove him, when 10 years before, of course, he was our friend. I mean, that hypocrisy really struck with me. But then I'm sitting here going, wait a minute, this guy is making millions of dollars to stand here in New York City and tell me and feed this propaganda to me, the company lied to me, while his mother company is one of the largest defense contractors in the world. You know, I'm reading on the news, on the internet, how they just launched some massive new nuclear submarine that they built for some country in Europe.
I didn't realize GE makes defense weapons. I didn't realize
they make. Oh my God! They're one of the. They make engines, turbine engines for jets, components for nuclear submarines, for missiles.
So they're in the war industry.
You name it, man.
They absolutely. They need war in order to generate their profits.
They need a war.
Do you think Tom Brokaw actually knew that, or do you think he's just brain mind controlled himself? I mean.
I don't know. I have no idea. Okay. I'm not going to speculate as to whether, you know, somebody that is in that position is necessarily has a benevolent or a malevolent motive behind them. But, you know, I mean, very clearly I can look at somebody like a George Bush or a Dick Cheney and say, come on, it's pretty obvious. But, you know, a broadcaster living the life of a star and, you know, really believing he's doing a good thing. And, you know,
but he's being,
who knows? I mean, I don't know.
But he's being controlled. I mean, why doesn't
sure.
he wake up and say, hey, what's really going on here?
I mean, well, what do you think it is? I mean, you know, you hear a lot these days about this cognitive dissonance thing, you know, that people know the truth, but they simply want to disassociate themselves from it, and they just won't believe it. I mean, are they people like them knowingly on the take and taking the hand of Satan, so to speak, willingly?
No, I do think most of us, 95% of the American public is brainwashed, is actually mind-controlled by the media itself and believes what the media tells us. You know, I'm listening to Dick Cheney, and I'm saying, wow, this guy sounds logical. I mean, I know he's evil and all that, but the way he says it and the authority that he says it, I feel my own need for a stable reality to come in and want to believe the guy, even though it's so obvious that he's lying. I mean, there was a great YouTube thing where he's caught in his lie, and he says, no, I never said that. He actually said it. And 2 seconds before, the newscaster, I don't know where it is, but he's saying the same thing like, oh, yeah, looks likely that, you know, they had weapons of mass destruction. And someone says, you said it looked likely. And he goes, no, I never said that. And it's like, even though I've heard him lie 2 seconds ago, I want to believe him. I mean, we are so gullible. We are so thought-controlled and fed bubble gum and cotton candy all day that we don't know what reality is. We are so overshadowed by the media in terms of what reality is. That's why I call this show New Realities, that we don't even know where to wake up to. And, you know, even the We Are Change, even the 9/11 Truth Movement, they are also using the same media to bring us those opinions. So it's like someone caught between these media worlds doesn't know who to believe. They don't know what
to believe.
You know,
I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's something that I struggle with. And I have actually had people say that to me. They're saying, Sam, you know, you realize while we believe that you're fighting the good fight, we believe in your cause, we believe you're a good man with the right intentions, but realize that you're utilizing the same, in many ways, the same techniques and talents and tactics that the enemy is using. And, you know, it's that whole black magic, white magic thing, you know. Is there such a thing? I mean, is it...
Do you fight fire with fire, or is there another way? I mean,
that's a really good point.
Well, it is a good point, and I don't know what the answer is because...
I don't know what the answer is either. I know this, man. I believe in God, and I believe that God put me on this planet, and that at 38 years old, I have found that which it is I believe is my life's calling, and my talents, and my energy level, and the connections that I've made, that have not that I've made, but that have come to me. All of this sort of... all of these weird synchronicities and everything that brought me to where I am to be able to do what I'm doing, I feel that that's what I'm supposed to do. So, you know, I think,
your life calling? If you could sum it up in like a sentence, what would you say your life calling is?
That's an interesting question. I would say waking people up, including myself. I mean,
waking them up to what though? To what?
Well, to the fact that, boy, that's interesting. I mean, I know the answer here, but I got to think of how to put it because it's more of an internal feeling that I have than something that I can just blah, you know. But I think it's what you alluded to earlier, which is that we are living in the Matrix. We are living in an illusion, and that our perception of that illusion is dictating, of course, how we're going about day to day. I'm not pretending to know, or nor am I putting forth what I believe are the answers. What I'm trying to do is to let people know, just to shake it off, to shake the fog off, and to seek and find the answers for themselves. I think that's the most important thing, you know. And anything that I can do as an educator and as a motivator to help present opportunities and material to them that may help them in that process without dictating or preaching to them per se. You know, that's a fine line.
I understand it. You want to sort of pull the wool off their eye. You want to show them that there's more, to the world than what they've been brainwashed into believing.
What that is, what they find once that wool's off, is entirely up to them. I don't want to try to necessarily, I would love it if they would wake up to some of the truths that I believe to be truth, such as, you had alluded to 9/11, and where we're at with the big business, this fascist corporate model that we have now that we call our government, and big business and the defense industries controlling everything. All this stuff. I mean, these are illusions that have been cast upon the masses that I believe that I can see through, and many, many, many people do see through. I'd love it for people to wake up to that. But maybe it's something just as simple as, holy crap, the garbage that I buy at the grocery store that they're calling vegetables isn't doing anything to give me nourishment. So I'm going to make a garden at home and learn about organic gardening. Maybe that's what they wake up to. I don't know.
Well, you know who does a really good job is Michael Moore. Sicko, I think, is a great... Have you seen Sicko?
Haven't seen it yet.
Well, he really does wake people up to that big business doesn't care about people's health, even though they call themselves a health insurance company. They're there to make money. They will deny people operations and medication because... they lose money if they have to pay out. So they're in the business of not taking care of people, which he makes very clearly, but of making money. And that is waking a lot of people up. I mean, he is a great service to humanity. I mean, I think he's doing an amazing thing. He's one little big guy from Michigan, and he's showing what the ugly face of corporate America that is controlling our lives and is, like you said, is in government creating artificial wars to make money.
Right, period. Well, I think it's more than about making money, and I think this is what's so insidious about it and what really frightens me. I'm a big believer that a lot of these folks are being driven by very negative, demonic forces, and they want to control. It's about control. Money is the mechanism by which they can control, but it's about control, man.
So you think Cheney is about, they're like Hitler, you're saying.
Absolutely, and I will absolutely. That's why I'm in this fight, man. That's why I sit and I look at my little girl and I say, there is no way that I'm going to someday stand before my creator and explain that I was too preoccupied or too busy or too otherwise cowardly to fight against this blatant evil that is attempting to enslave my family and her family's family and future generations in some sort of electronic prison control grid where we as free people supposedly are surveilled and watched and harassed and brainwashed 24/7 to meet the needs of these corporate demons. I still have some level of freedom in that I'm able to get on the airwaves and speak with you about this without the microchip in my brain exploding
of course,
and killing
but
me.
What,
you know what I mean?
It's great.
We can't roll the clock back.
But what's the point? I mean, what's it doing? I mean, it's great that we can, and it's an illusion of freedom, but is that stopping the war? Is that feeding people? No, we're just sort of masturbating. I mean, it's like, are we really doing anything? Because we think we have the freedom to speak out. The government says, okay, we'll let these characters speak out, but what are we doing? What's Aaron Russo? I mean, he started to do some. Is anything happening? because people are speaking out. No, the government keeps going along and saying yes, yes, yes. I mean, it's an illusion, I think. Speaking out, it's great. There's people protesting the war, great, although that might not happen anymore. But, you know, is it really making an effect? I don't mean to be negative, but you can be happy speaking out. The government says, let these kids speak out. Who cares? No one's listening. No one's going to do anything. So what can we do?
Well, I think that, number one, change takes time. I mean, right. The fact is, as you said, we collectively, although there are many people that are awake, collectively we're still en masse, and the vast majority of people are still asleep and controlled. So recognizing that the battle is going to take time to win. I mean, a war is not won in one battle. And we are in one battle with one particular administration. And, you know, these forces that go back a couple generations, back to World War II and out of Nazi Germany, you know, the Prescott Bush and the ties back there to the Nazi ideal, you know, this goes back, and this battle's been going on for a while. And no, it's nothing new, and I've heard that said as well. You know, it's the way it's always been, it's the way it's always going to be. Now, the thing is here's the difference. We've reached a point now where, imagine if a Napoleon had the Verichip technology and geo satellites at their control. And, you know, imagine if Hitler would have had those technologies at his control and at his command.
Right.
These evil types of people have always been around. This battle's not going to go away. There's not going to be a day where we're going to be able to sit back and rest on our laurels and say that we've created this utopia and evil has been vanquished and we won.
I personally think there could be a day where it's not, I don't even call it evil. I mean, I think it's ignorance, and it's ignorance that, you know, the idea if you are selfish, you'll be happier. There's greater happiness, I think, in sharing, in a social, network of socialism, you know, health benefits for all. There's greater happiness in a society where we care about people as opposed to corporations hoarding all the money for themselves and giving people, you know, little pennies to get by. I mean,
So you don't believe in evil?
I don't really. I think it's ignorance. I mean, you can call it evil, and that's fine. I don't think it's evil. I think there are people who think that selfishness is something that they want, because they haven't seen that it's more beautiful to share. You know, maybe that's a naive way of looking, but I think...
Well, I mean, I think that there are some people at that point in life, but then there are the people that did recognize that it is more beautiful to share, but they don't care because they enjoy causing suffering and hurt upon others, and they enjoy eliminating people that they believe are below them and controlling them, and enjoy that sort of death and destruction and the policies that bring those about. That, to me, is evil. And unfortunately,
right.
I think that's what we have sitting in the White House. Yes.
When you say enjoy, I'm losing you a little bit. Do you hear me? Hello?
Yeah, no, we're there, man. I just heard a little bit of static, but you're there.
I lost you a little bit back. Wait. Hello?
We're good.
Oh, I hear you now. You hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hello?
Who's that on the line?
Oh, maybe it's the producer.
Blowing into the phone?
Oh, no, that was me, because I couldn't hear you for a second.
I can hear you fine. The connection sounds good, sir.
Oh, it sounds good to you? But, okay, I'll just go with it, because it sounds a little like you got faded out a little bit. But when you say that they enjoy doing that to people, I don't know. It's one very low level of enjoyment. I think when you've experienced the higher realms, you see what real joy looks like, and that's why I call that level ignorance, you know, for that reason, because they haven't understood what true joy is about if they're functioning on such a low level. There really is no joy in, you know, hurting other people. I mean,
I believe that, and you believe that, but I do believe in evil, and I believe that there are people in this world that do recognize what you're saying, that do face that joy and then turn their back on it willingly, that, in my mind, is the definition of evil. Seeing heaven, seeing perfection, seeing beauty, seeing love, and willingly turning your back on it. And then
see, that's why I disagree with you, because when you truly see that and you truly feel that, there would be no reason to do anything else. I mean, this is my experience.
Well, no, there's no reason. There's no reason if you are a healthy individual that isn't psychopathic. No, there wouldn't be. But if you have a defect that causes you to act out in these ways, whether it's a spiritual defect or a physiological defect in regards to how your brain simply fires, you know, I mean, there are sociopaths in the world, man, you know.
Right.
But to make that conscious decision to do these horrible things, I don't think that can be so simply boiled down to just simple ignorance. I think
as a spiritual evolution, I think we've all passed through those stages in lifetimes. This is just my opinion, of lifetimes of evolution. We've had to experience all these things, and now I think we're at a planetary point where it's a sort of breaking point where we'll either, those that choose to share and be a part and connect to each other are actually creating a new world, while those that choose to not are creating this hell world.
You're bringing up a good point here. Let me throw something at you. And I think maybe where you might be going here is a friend of mine said the other day, in regards to what I'm doing with national activism. He says, again, I don't doubt your intentions. I think the points that you're making are true, but we need to be focusing all of our energies on the positive. If you feed the monster off with you by playing into the fear, by getting other people whipped up and afraid and angry, then that's what we're going to get more of. And I understand that. Right. I understand all that. And as a spiritual being, I'm a nouveau Christian. I'm not a churchy Christian. But I understand that whole thing of as you sow, so shall you reap.
With religion and what, Christians are great, but you don't have to call it anything. It's this greater essence. But the problem with formalized religion is when you demonize another being, like George Bush, that you make them less than human, which makes it okay to denigrate them.
Well, no. I'm not suggesting he's less than human, because my belief is that the nature of good and evil is in all of us, and he's not less than human. He is human. He's a human that is turning his back on the potential to use his gifts that he's been given by Creator to make this world a better place, and instead is using it to make the world a worse place. Therefore, he's enacting evil upon us. Now, that said, here's the analogy that I used to my friend. I said, yes, I understand that logic. However, don't you think at some point in society you get to a point where you have no choice but either to run away or fight back? For case in point, suppose I'm upstairs in the middle of the night, right? You're upstairs. I don't know. Do you have a family?
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Well,
you're upstairs laying there in the middle of the night, and you hear somebody kicking your door in downstairs.
Right.
And you hear them cussing and swearing, and they're very clearly some whack job on crack. And, do you put the covers over your head and just lay there and think fuzzy warm thoughts and believe that they're not, maybe they're not being malevolent toward my family and they're not going to come up here and slaughter us all in our sleep? Or do you get up and go down there and fight? I think we're at that point as a nation that we are in danger of being mass. We're talking Hitler level atrocities happening.
About the 800 empty concentration camps waiting for protesters to come in, protest that they'll be carted away. I agree. Just getting back to the original point, I think the people that do those things, do the Hitler-type actions, are ignorant of the true spiritual opportunities that we have as human beings. That's all. I mean, we can call it evil. I choose to call it ignorance of our true potential as loving, divine beings. That's all. You know, and I think the political realities that you're saying and to defend oneself is a natural response. We need to defend ourselves and we need to take action to protect our freedom. Of course.
Well, let me ask you in that regard, knowing and clearly we're both you know, I got to tell you, by the way, I'm really enjoying this conversation.
Oh,
I love
good.
Talking stuff like this. I really
Well, I love to mix the political and spiritual because the two aren't separate. I mean, I tend to
They're not separate at all. They're completely intertwined.
Exactly. And that's
unfortunately is part of our problem.
Well, it's unfortunate because, you know, life is one. It's a oneness. I tend to avoid political discussions because it tends to be very angry and one-sided without taking in the part that you're including, which are these higher spiritual realities that combine all of life together, you know?
Right. Yes, I do.
Yeah. I mean, that's why
the problem is when as you say, it turns selfish and self-serving, you know, and then people feel that they have to exercise their ability to control others and turn to mechanisms of mind control and violence against fellow man in order to get those things. There's plenty of room for everybody in this world. We don't have to be living like this, and they're choosing to. And, I've got to tell you, that's one of the things that really makes me most upset is I sit here on a daily basis as a man of conscience, you know, and I look around me at the world and I say, what am I going to do? I got to say, right now, I could be laying on the couch with my little girl, my beautiful little family, you know, and showing love and getting love and just enjoying life. But no, I got to sit here and talk on a radio show because this is the life that I've chosen. And, you know, tomorrow morning I'm going to get up and fight a battle. And then next week I'm going to go and give a speech somewhere. And, you know, there's so much negativity. And the fact that we're faced with the decision where it's forced upon us that you cannot simply kick back and live in peace and disappear anymore. There is no running into the mountains and just living off of the land anymore and forgetting about the world. It doesn't exist anymore. And that, most of all, it makes me so sad and so angry that we're put in that position. You know?
No, but that position is really key to our evolution. You see, we are no longer solitary individuals. We need to come together collectively, and that's where we're going. We're coming into a oneness as a planet. That's the purpose of the internet. To all these pieces of ourselves that we think are separate, we're now realizing we are connected in a conscious way.
That's the purpose of the internet.
That's the purpose of the internet. That's the purpose of our own political, spiritual evolution.
I thought it was to send me Viagra samples.
Well, yeah, that's what, unfortunately, is one of the downsides. But the truth is, it is the nervous system of our collective consciousness.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. It is going to be neat to see where this goes from here. That's something I think about quite often. Being a technology guy, you know, I grew up in this stuff. You know, I started in desktop publishing, you know, when the very first editions of Adobe, at the time it was Aldus PageMaker and, Freehand it was, and, systems. And
the
to see where it's come in 15 years, it's unbelievable, man.
The people that were normally the architects and all the geniuses, and there's certain amount percentages of geniuses per generation, are putting their energies into developing these types of gifted technologies that are helping and assisting our evolution. That's where I see it. It's the new art form. It's the technology.
It is. I see it very much that way as well. I really do. And the thing that concerns me is, again, just like with any technology, you get the folks that are hell-bent on using it for destruction and control, and that's what they're going to try and do. And that's unfortunate.
There might always be stuff like that. But let me ask you one question, because, you know, you are fighting the monster, let's say, but how do you avoid, you know, corporate America in your daily life? I mean,
you're being
subdued by the very thing that you think you're fighting against. I hate to point it out to you, but you're living an illusion as well, perhaps. I mean, I'm just
to a lesser degree than many others, however. I'm certainly not suggesting that I'm free by any stretch of the imagination. I'm sitting here right now utilizing these big companies' telephone lines to talk to you.
Exactly.
I utilize Verizon and all these big companies to do what I do on the internet, and my computers are all made of petroleum products. I mean, I am not sitting here being preachy and saying that I'm holier than thou.
Okay,
not by any stretch of the imagination.
How do we get free of a system that is totally we're using? I mean, how does the fish get outside the fish tank? It's like, you know,
yeah.
How do we overcome, let's call it the monster, whatever you want to call it.
Well, I don't think it's the system per se.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are things that we can do to streamline and make the system more based upon constitutional principles rather than fascistic principles.
Right.
You know, those are just some common sense things. You know, the point of Aaron Russo's movie, you know, getting back to the gold standard and getting back to real money versus fake money, where we've enabled these private bankers to issue money at credit at interest rates to the United States people, creating money out of nothing, taking us to the cleaners, racking up huge debt while controlling our economy. They're getting rich off of it, and we're paying the price for it. I don't know that there's necessarily a way to, or that we have to get rid of the system per se. We have to optimize the system as best we can.
Getting back to Aaron Russo, I mean, the main point of that movie from Freedom to Fascism was the thing that we don't have to pay income tax, that federal income tax.
No, that wasn't the main point. He started down that road in that he always heard this and he decided to investigate it.
Mm-hmm.
And in his investigation, he discovered much more. And
right.
that being that whole federal income tax, the whole Federal Reserve, our whole American economic system is really just the tip of the iceberg. That's
mm-hmm.
just simply one means of control that is being exercised upon us by a globalist group of people who are hell-bent on establishing a prison planet where we are microchipped and controlled 24/7 like herds of sheep. And that's what he uncovered, and that's the point of the movie.
Okay, so how, with all the things that we've said in this discussion and all the things that we've been, how can we change this? How can we create the world that me and you know is possible?
Well, I think the first step is getting leaders in place within the system that are speaking truth and that are going to hold to the principles that, as you're saying, that people like us believe in, that are not serving the principles or the purposes or the desires or the machinations of folks that, to use your term, are ignorant and are motivated by more malevolent motivations. You know, we need to get good people in there that are going to affect the change that's necessary.
And so who do you like? Do you like Dennis Kucinich?
Right now, you know, we're solidly behind Ron Paul for president. I think the man's a good man. I think he's he's the only one that's out there talking about constitutional issues. He's tackling these hard core issues and is not afraid to speak the truth in regards to breaking in and taking the blinders off these lies that we've been sold about our system and how things work. He sees it. He speaks clearly. It's an amazing phenomenon to see this very humble, quiet guy that has people from all ages and all socioeconomic backgrounds coming behind him, you know. So We're solidly behind him. Absolutely. Ron Paul is the president.
From where is he from?
He's from Texas. He's a congressman from Texas.
Uh-huh. Yep. Kucinich, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Yeah. Absolutely.
So we only have a few bit more time. Let's talk about We Are the Change and also what your whole opinion on 9/11 and what.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's your opinion of that?
Well, in my opinion, and based on the research that I've seen and reading, you know, all sides of the issue, visiting Shanksville myself, you know, being
you
there,
visited
seeing
Shanksville?
It. Yeah, actually, I have a. Some of my footage that I've shot down there is going to be in the new Loose Change, the final cut. Dylan and the boys used that, and
find there? Tell us.
Well, you know, first off, a hole that's like 24 feet wide. You know, the whole official story. When you stand there and you listen to the story and you look at the land and you talk to some of the locals and you hear the stories about what they saw that day, it doesn't line up. Well, we have an interview. It's going to be going up on my website here pretty soon at citizensadvocate.net. That's one of my radio talk shows. But we interviewed a lady that, just for instance, she's just one of many. We interviewed a lady that was driving to pick up her grandkids that morning, and she's riding along in her CD player playing in her van, and she stopped at a rural intersection, and you can imagine you pull up to a little intersection there, and it's kind of a T, right? And there's a line of trees and a house ahead of you by about 40 feet ahead of you, and 50, 60 foot pine trees there. Well, as she's sitting there at the stop sign, a small white craft went flying right over her van. Underneath the power lines, like literally, she's saying a foot and a half, 2 feet, right above her van, and
you
just
like
sort
a small
of
plane or like a UFO.
Well, this is what's weird about this. She described it as a small white craft that swooped down right over her windshield and right toward the trees across the street, and then banked hard right up over the trees and dropped right back down over the trees again. Now, this was on the ridge, and we got this on video where she explained
this. Is that like
this.
A guided, you think it's a guided missile?
Well, the way that I'm not going to say what I think it is, but
okay.
But based on what she is saying, it has the characteristics of some sort of device that's capable of hugging terrain like that. I'm not a military analyst. I'm not an intelligence guy. But based on what she's saying, the bottom line is this, that she saw a small white craft about the size of her van, she says. It was cylindrical in shape, no wings noticeable, fins on the back.
Cylindrical in shape.
That had fins on the back that was all like composite plastic. She said, I could see the underside of it, and it was all, no rivets, no seams. It was all perfectly smooth and white, and completely silent. Shot down up over, boom. She didn't even know that the plane supposedly had hit. She rode up the street. She was in a panic, thinking that a small white plane had crashed. Well, the more she investigated this over time, the more she has come to the conclusion that it had to have been some type of, of drone, like a Predator or a missile or something. But the point being, whatever it was, she went to the FBI with it, and they didn't want to have to hear anything about it. They didn't want to have to hear anything about it. And there are other people that were reportedly seeing other things strange in the sky that day, other strange incidents that simply were not addressed. And the lady's sitting there going, listen, I don't know what it was. I'm not going to pretend to know what it was, but I sure as hell know that it was not a 757. And I sure as heck know that if indeed our government truly wants to get to the bottom of what happened on that day, they should be investigating what it was. That's their job, not mine.
Right, but I mean, okay, I believe this story, but if this is true, what happened to the plane? Was it visualized by your...
I have no idea. I'm not even going to sit and speculate. So for me, you asked me about about my opinion with... with 9/11, overall, I come from the standpoint of I'm not going to pretend to say that I have any clue how it happened, why it happened, or how the crime went down. But I do believe, I really, truly believe that this was a staged, what they term a false flag attack, a staged attack upon the United States by rogue elements within the United States or within globalist, elitist channels that did this to trigger the global war that then ensued and to enslave the American people, put us in a footing of panic where we would give up all of our rights, the Military Commissions Act, the Patriot Act, the new executive order that Bush just passed. You know, if you oppose the war in Iraq under any circumstance, in any way at all, you now, through the Treasury Department, can have all of your assets seized.
That's amazing.
Amazing. And all of these policies go back to 9/11, man.
But how did Congress let him pass that law?
Isn't it unbelievable? Well, it wasn't a law. It's not a law. It's not a law yet. It's an executive order. Now they have 30 days to overturn it. If indeed they don't overturn it, then it has the weight of law. But
bringing this up in Congress to talk about it?
Isn't that a good question? Why is Homeland Security giving no bid contracts to Halliburton to build millions and millions of dollars worth of domestic?
That's obvious because that's control. I mean, that's an obvious
detention
control.
Centers. You know, come on, give me a break.
Why isn't someone awake and bringing this to the attention of Congress? Is there any organization talking?
We are. I mean, we're hammering it,
and
man.
What kind of response are you getting?
Well, we're hearing reports back from people saying already, you know, basically what it comes down to is when you call the offices up, you say, hey, I'm a constituent, are you aware of this? And they basically go, well, a lot of people calling saying that they want the war stopped, a lot of people calling saying that blah, 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 but no, this is the first time that we've really heard of this. You know,
so when the more people call, like, they can't use that line more than a few times. I mean, really, once a lot enough people call, they can't say it's the first time they're hearing about it.
Well, what's interesting about this is there was a groundswell of people that rose up against this whole immigration bill several weeks ago and got it killed. And there were reports even in the mainstream media that the switchboard at the Senate just crashed because of the volume of calls. And the bottom line is these are people. They're fat cats, and they are making money, and they are living the high life, period. And, you know, regardless of whether they're evil or just ignorant or just stupid and lazy or really they're good people, the fact is they recognize that they can get voted out. So when you do call them, and I was down at the state, there's a great interview. People need to see this. We went to the state capitol in Harrisburg. Go to RestoreTheRepublic.com, and I did an interview with the state representative Sam Rohr. Now, this man embodies what politicians should be, and his attitude anyway toward what government should be. He's working with grassroots organizers here in the state of Pennsylvania to get the Real ID Act killed on a state level here, saying no, Pennsylvania is not going to comply with this. Well, there's a great interview there. Look for the interview with Sam Rohr at RestoreTheRepublic.com. But what RestoreTheRepublic.com. The cool thing that I want to get at was one of the points that he mentioned about grassroots activism. He said, you got to realize that we realize, even the most arrogant people in government do realize that if one person calls, they realize that there's probably 100 people out there that feel that way. So if 10 people actually call, they realize there's probably thousands of people out there that feel that way. If we get 1,000 phone calls, we know people are really, 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 really concerned, and we got to take a look at what they're saying.
Okay. So is there anything coming together about the executive order? Any public protests coming about that last executive order?
It's one of the things that we were just discussing. I was honored to be able to attend as a delegate for my organization's Philadelphia conference, the Emergency Anti-War Conference that happened on the 4th of July. That was very, very cool. And that the whole Philadelphia platform is growing out of that. And, of course, Cindy Sheehan right now is out there pounding hard. She just got arrested the other day down in Conyers' office pushing for impeachment. And we're still not hearing that type of focus on this executive order in regards to, you know, street actions and whatnot. Right now, it really just hit the consciousness through the Patriot Network just about 3 days ago. So, you know, we're trying, you know, we're talking about it on our talk shows. We're trying to get the word out through our news media, and we're making telephone campaign phone calls and email, you know, harassing our representatives in that regard. But I'm not aware of any mass.
Isn't this the most important thing? Because this is martial law he's trying to
do. Well, you know what? It's even beyond martial law. You know what? That's a good question. I don't know. Why the hell aren't we on the, why aren't we on the steps of the Capitol tomorrow?
Exactly. Why aren't we? Don't say you don't know. Let's put something together.
What's your email? I'll tell you what. Listening to this, we have a huge network. Okay.
Okay.
We're right when you consider. I know you. Some people have heard of us and what we're doing. Other people haven't. But when it regards to the resistance, if you will, we're on the front lines, and we know everybody that is on the front lines.
Where do we get in touch with you?
Personally, okay, you can go to the websites themselves if you want to learn more, are freedomtofascism.com. Now, that's about the movie.
Okay,
freedomtofascism.com. You want to learn more, you can watch it for free, you can order it, you can get involved in distributing it as an activist tool. If you want to get directly involved with broader activism, RestoreTheRepublic.com. For me personally, you would reach me through Etaro.com, that's Etaro.com, or my personal email,
Etaro.com. Okay.
And my personal email is Samuel, S-A-M-U-E-L, at Etaro, that's Etaro.com. And you'll see links up there to my various radio show projects and whatnot as well. I've got a couple national radio shows that I do and all kinds of fun stuff. But, you know, anybody that's interested in helping organize something specifically in regards to fighting against this executive order, I'm open to suggestions. I don't know, you know, I don't think going to D.C., waving a bunch of placards in a free speech zone and then going home the next day is going to do the trick. You know, I'm with you, sir.
This is more important than 9/11. I mean, 9/11.
In a way, it is, because he's basically saying.
Course it happened. Of course it was weird. But this affects our future.
Right, hardcore. This is and if you haven't read it, go to the whitehouse.gov. Actually, if you go to WTPRN.com, that's the network that I'm on, WTPRN.com, look down for something, new executive order squashes Fifth Amendment, I think is the story. Or just go and follow the links, or just go to whitehouse.gov and go under news, press releases, I think it is, and executive orders, and you'll see it right there, July 17th. Hell, just go to Google and type in July 17th executive order, okay?
Right.
Have you read it? Did you read it?
I have read it, and it's like, I can't believe it.
They're not even masking it. It's not even like legal mumbo jumbo. A 10th grader can understand the language. It says any person, and it defines any person as a U.S. citizen, someone inside the U.S., blah, 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 blah. It's any person, any group, any organization, any coming together for any reason in opposition to the administration's policies in Iraq and trying to stop funding for these, you are subject to complete asset forfeiture through the Treasury Department and the State Department with no due process and no advanced warning. Period. And
isn't that against the Constitution? I mean,
You know, when I read that, man, I'm laughing out of just pure frustration, because it's so ludicrous. You know, it's like something you would, you know, did you ever see the movie Brazil?
Yeah, right.
You know, the scene where the guy on Christmas Eve, they drop, the stormtroopers drop out of the ceiling and crash through the door, and they take the husband away, and they read her rights and give her her receipt for her husband. You know, and it's so ludicrous. It's like a scene out of a Monty Python movie. But there it is, right there, issued by our president on the White House website. People need to wake up.
Well, I agree with them. We're just about out of time. I think just issuing an executive order like that is impeachment material. You know, just the thought that you can get away with something like that.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Anyway, Samuel, thank you. Thank you for a really great time here. And if people want to reach you or listen to your radio program, just give us the times and the website.
Yes. I'm on every Thursday night on Revere Radio Network, revereradio.com. The home site for that show is called The Citizens Advocate. It's citizensadvocate.net, and that's 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time every Thursday night.
Okay.
Free radio.
We don't want to take people away from BBS radio.
No, okay. Friday night you can go to WTPRN.com and plug in at 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. That's where I do my Atero live show. Man, did I have a great show last week. Jerome Corsi and Connie Fogel from the Kalanian Action Party
we'll do another show at some time.
You gotta run. I can hear you run.
I do. Thank you. I've been talking to Sam.
Hey, I'd love to have you on my show too.
Yeah, have me on. I talk about new realities more from a spiritual perspective. We've been listening to new realities.
What's your email?
My email for everyone and you is newrealities@earthlink.net. My name's Alan Steinfeld, and you've been listening to New Realities on BBSRadio.com. I'm going to go out with my favorite little theme song here, which is really talks about a spiritual perspective, the song of the soul. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, my friend. Keep in touch.
Thank you.
Glimpses of truth. Die for me. Open mine eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine. Love in the night, I am crying. I am not dying. I am dancing. Dancing along in the madness. There is no sadness.
Thank you for listening to New Realities on BBS Radio. I'm Alan Steinfeld, and you're listening to Chris Williamson in The Song of the Soul. And I'll see you, talk to you, and listen to you next week. Thank you.